Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So, during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening. Want to welcome all of you here to St. Thomas the Apostle. Special thanks to all the priests that are joining me in the celebration, Father Thomas, Father Bolding, and Father Clockman. Welcome to all of you to this beginning, the celebration of the Triduum, these three most holy days in our church. As I was looking at the sacramentary for this Mass, there's a little thing that it talks about, that the Holy Thursday Mass is the institution of three key things. And so the church asked me to speak about these three key things. One is the institution of the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith. The second is the institution of the priesthood. Priesthood and the Eucharist goes together. And thirdly, the commandment Jesus gives for fraternal charity. So today we celebrate the institution of the Eucharist, and the church frames it for us with this beautiful reading that we hear that comes from the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. We hear about how the first Passover came about. And so when Jesus met with his disciples for the Last Supper, they were celebrating the Seder meal. They were celebrating the Passover. And we heard in that first reading that every family was to procure a lamb. And if they didn't, if they couldn't procure a lamb for themselves, they were to join their neighbor or the adjoining house and participate together. But they had to take this lamb. It would be prepared. The blood had to be sprinkled on the doorpost of each of the houses. And that wasn't enough. No vegetarians. You had to eat the lamb. You had to consume the flesh. And then the angel would pass over, where the name Passover comes. And those homes where the blood had been sprinkled on the doorposts and the flesh of the lamb had been eaten, the angel would pass over those homes. Our early church fathers see this as a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. I think about the blood on the doorposts, you know, when we receive the precious blood. It goes on our lips, doorpost to our body, what goes into our bodies. And Jesus is the Lamb of God whose flesh we eat, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so the Seder meal recalls for the Jewish people this Passover all that God has done for the people of Israel in their salvation history. I remember when I was in my first year at the seminary, it seems like yesterday, but it was like 15 years or more, no, 20 years ago. So a long time ago, celebrated my first Seder meal in the seminary, and there comes a time where all the children love to sing this part of the Seder meal, and it's a little song that they sing, Dai Dai Yenu. And they would sing this little song, Dai Dai Yenu, which means it would have been enough. And in that song, they recall all the great deeds, all the things that God has done for his people. And then the children will sing this happy song that if God had stopped there and only done that one thing, it would have been enough. And they sing that song over and over for all the things that God has done for the people. You know, if all he did was bring them out of Egypt, it would have been enough. If all he did was send the plagues to the Pharaoh, it would have been enough. But God keeps doing more. He keeps doing more. And they recall all the elements of their salvation history. And throughout the Seder meal, they eat different food items. Some of them you might not like so much, like celery. Who likes celery anyways? But they dip the celery, actually I do like celery, with salt. They dip the celery in salt water, and they say, call to mind the tears that our people wept bitterly during the Exodus. And so they would eat the salt water and be reminded of the tears. All these things, a reminder of God working in their salvation history. And then Jesus says something unique and beautiful. He's after concluding the Seder meal, he says, now do this in memory of me. He takes the wine, he blesses it, the bread, take and eat, take and drink, and now do this in memory of me. And it was probably shocking for the disciples, because they're probably thinking, we're doing this in memory of Moses, all the things that God did to liberate our people from slavery in Egypt. And now Jesus is saying, now do this in memory of me. What Moses did, Jesus now perfects. Moses brought people out of slavery from Pharaoh in Egypt. Jesus brings us out of the slavery of our sins. Moses brought the people through the water of the Red Sea. Jesus did far more than that. He brings us through the water of baptism, which crushes our great enemy, his hold upon our souls, and he washes us clean of that original sin. And so Moses brings the people into the promised land, and Jesus brings us into the promised land, freedom from the slavery of sin. And so Jesus says to his disciples, do this now in memory of me. And so we have the institution of the Eucharist, and also the fulfillment of one of Jesus' promise, when Jesus promised that I will be with you even until the end of time. And in every Catholic church, in every continent on the world, Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jesus, when he commands his disciples to do this now in memory of me, is asking them to bring about the same great change that Jesus brought about, that first bread, that first wine that he consecrated and turned into his real presence. Jesus then asked the disciples, do this in memory of me. Without the priesthood, there's no Eucharist. We should pray for our priests. There are so few priests and so much work to be done. I forget the numbers, but we have so few priests, even in our own diocese. We rely on foreign-born priests to come as missionaries to Phoenix, to the United States, all over, dioceses all over America. There are such shortages of priests. I'm very grateful to Father Thomas Kagumisa for leaving his beautiful home in Tanzania and coming all the way out here because we don't have enough priests. And it's a reminder to us that we need to pray for our priests. We need to pray for our children, that they would consider a vocation to the priesthood or religious life. There are so few priests and so much work to be done. When I think of all the things that I do as a priest, sometimes it can be overwhelming. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but trust me, I get pulled in every which direction. And so I would ask you to pray for me as your pastor, but pray indeed for all of our priests. One of the things that really hurts the church, hurts my heart, are scandals that we have seen in the ranks of the priesthood. Those priests who have violated their vows. And I don't know if any of you have been affected by a priest that has ever violated his vows, but I believe I speak on behalf of all of us priests that my sincerest apologies to anyone who has been scandalized or hurt at the hands of a priest. We must pray for those priests as well as those victims who have been hurt by them, especially that their faith may not be shaken. We see in this reading that we just heard that Jesus knew that those who were the closest to him, that there would be one who would be a scandal, who would betray him. We think of Judas. Even among the closest friends of Jesus, there was one who betrayed him. And so we still see Judas from time to time in our church. I don't know if you've ever heard before, but I was speaking to an Orthodox priest, and the Orthodox love to use incense even more than I do. And he was explaining to me how he didn't like the Roman Catholic thuribles because they didn't make them right. He said they normally should be shaped as in a circle for representing a woman's womb, because the thurible represents the church, which is the bride of Christ. And on that thurible, there should be three chains. And those three chains are the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's one chain that goes up the middle that you pull the string and it lifts the lid. If you pay attention, you'll see that happen when Deacon brings it over to me. The incense represents the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit enters the heart of the church, there's this beautiful explosion of prayer and praise. But along those three chains, there are four bells, supposed to be. And one of those bells has its ball bearing removed and it is silent. That bell reminds us of Judas. And so if you have been offended by a priest or have witnessed such a scandal, it shouldn't tear apart our faith, because we know that from the very beginning, there was always one who would betray Jesus. Finally, Jesus spoke of this command for fraternal charity. Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. He, the master, the rabbi, the teacher, washes the feet of his disciples. Now, in Israel, they didn't have sidewalks like we do. There was probably a lot of dirt and dust, and they didn't have the fancy shoes that we have today. They probably had more simple shoes like open sandals. And so you can imagine how dirty your feet would get if you were walking everywhere you went and there was lots of dirt around. It's interesting to note that servants were exempted from the demeaning task of washing their master's feet. If you were a servant and your master told you to wash my feet, you could say no. That was the role of the slave. Only the slave could be asked to wash one's feet. And so it's no surprise that Peter objects. You will never wash my feet. You are my master. I love you. You are my Lord. You will never wash my feet. Peter is offended that Jesus would stoop so low to take the position of a slave and wash his feet. Jesus says to Peter, if I do not wash your feet, then you have no inheritance in me. You gotta love Peter, right? He does a total 180. Then not only my feet, my hands and my head, everything. You know, give me a bath, give me, everything. And Jesus says to him, those who are clean have no need to wash except for their feet. It's the image in cleaning and washing the feet, I think, is an image of washing away the real dirt that is upon us. That real dirt is our sins. And Jesus will stoop low to wash even your feet, to wash the sins from your feet. The only thing it requires is a little bit of humility, and that is to allow Jesus to do it for you. And to do that, Jesus gave us the sacrament of reconciliation. But so many people are either afraid or don't believe anymore in that sacrament. And so I want to offer a deep invite. Any one of us priests at any time, we're always available to wash your feet, or that is, to offer reconciliation. When I think of what Jesus did and how he washed the feet of the disciples, whenever I prepare myself for Mass, one of the garments that the priest puts on is the stole. And underneath the vestment, the priest wears the stole. It looks like this. You've probably seen them before. Deacons have a stole also. Theirs goes from side to side rather than two straight down the middle. But the Greek word for stole is towel. The Greek word for stole is towel. How beautiful that is, that every time the priest celebrates the Mass or reconciliation, that he wraps this towel around himself and then serves the church, serves the people. It's a reminder to me always that if Jesus came to serve, then his priest must have a heart of service for the people. And Jesus led by his example. We are all called by this commandment, however, not just the priest, to love and to serve others. You may not always want to do it. It may be embarrassing for you to do something that God is calling you to do, or maybe it might even require you to suffer for something. But Jesus leads us by his example. If you are willing to humble yourself as Jesus did, all sorts of beautiful miracles can happen. Recently read a story about a Jewish woman who was in a concentration camp, and she survived, and they were liberated by American army soldiers. And she wrote about her experience and how degrading it was. They cut her hair off. They took all of her hair. They did all sorts of crazy experiments, and she had no more dignity as a human being. She felt like an object, not a person. And she was just the shell of a human being. And she said it all came back to her in the snap of a finger when an army officer opened the door for her. She said, that was my dignity restored. He opened the door for me. I'm a human being. I'm a woman. And those little things that we think are insignificant, ways in which we are called to serve one another, can have an impact far beyond what we think it might have. And if God can do a miracle like that on her with such a little kind act, think what he might do with you with a bigger one. Another small act, I heard the story, this man actually was in our church when I was at Christ the King. He would go out to the parking lot after Mass, and he always parked in the same spot, and a certain girl that he thought was beautiful would park next to him. And after Mass, they would oftentimes bump into each other as they were getting into the car, and she would smile at him and get in her car and drive off. Well, he was going through some serious depression, and once he decided he was going to commit suicide, and he was standing on a high cliff, and he was about to throw himself off the cliff, guess what thought came into his mind? He thought of that girl and the smile that she gave him. And she said, what would she think if I don't show up at Mass this weekend, or what if she hears about this? It turned him around, and he didn't go through with it. Just a little act of service, a kind gesture. You never know the littlest things, how deep an impact it can have on saving somebody. Never underestimate how God may call or use you, no matter how small a thing is that he calls you to do. Tonight is a holy night. We rejoice in Jesus' gift to us of the Eucharist. We're called to pray for our priests, that they may be holy. And we look to answer God's call to each of us, to humble ourselves in service to him through one another, all for the glory of God and to win souls for heaven. Amen.